Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hi guys, Bianca here. Just wanted to take a quick moment to share with you the trailer for the podcast who picked tonight's topic. Thank you very much, Insanely Dangerous Retro Pod Show. Enjoy!
Hello, one and all, to the Insanely Dangerous Retro Pod Show.
Hello, who's this?
Just don't hurt the kids, okay?
And goes bleh.
Who would win in a steel cage match between Andy Crane, Andy Peters versus Neil Buchanan and Tommy Boyd?
Sounds like a scratchy robot chicken.
12 inch BA Baracas dolls.
That you do,
didn't really go like a 12 incher. Here we go.
If it worked how I think it's going to work, it's going to be bang average.
Oh, I'm just over it now.
Welcome to Friday Night Wi-Fi.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Sarah. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast while we were living La Vida lockdown. But now we're back in it, so...
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. 3.0.
So, we take aim at one topic each week with a bottle of... Tonight I'm having two of... wine and try to make some sense of it in some way or form. Right, ladies, what are we drinking tonight?
I have cracked into a new bottle from my wine club that I love so much at the moment. It's called, I think I'm going to say this wrong, Goodilly Pinot Gris out of the Adelaide Hills. And oh my God, it's actually delicious. So good. Mm. And I'm just going to interject with my first segue, and I'm going to say, I get locked down, but I get out again.
Yeah, never going to keep it locked down.
Yes. Yeah.
P.S. to all of our listeners, we dropped an episode as we're recording this. So we're recording on a Saturday. We dropped an episode today that we recorded last week, and I sang that little ditty. And now it's made itself quite well known on social media. I said it first. I said it a week ago. God damn it.
Amen. We have proof.
MI7.
Right, a Friday Night Wine Fight. Fight me. Anyway.
That's right.
I'm a little bit angry this week just because.
Yeah.
Again, because I've just got my head in my hands going, I can't believe we can't wear the mask and put the fucking sanitizer on and wipe our shit down. But anyway, I'm not getting into it because it's making me angry. So, Bianca, what are you drinking?
Put your lotion on the skin or you get the hose again. Just saying.
Okay, I was the only one who was thinking that.
If you can't do it, stay at home. That's all you can do. If you can't follow the rules, you don't want to do it, cool. But don't ruin it for the rest of us. We just got out. Like, seriously. Why? Anyway, I'm really getting angry now. Yeah. Next. Bianca, what are you drinking?
Next. Well, I'm just refilling my glass. Okay, so I am drinking, and for those of you who are following us on social media, you would have seen it on Facebook and Instagram, me holding a bottle of Hendrick that was sent to me by my secret admirer, and it is a Hendrick Midsummer Solstice. Limited release.
Ooh. I am drooling.
It is so delicious. So, yes, my secret admirer, for those who are following, was actually Sarah. Love you, bitch.
Aww, lovely. Yeah. Aww. What are you drinking, Sarah?
Well, I have just finished my first bottle, so... I'm drinking,
ding, first ding, round bottle. Two.
Come over here.
So both bottles are the same, just because I couldn't be bothered picking two different ones. So
fair enough.
Yeah. Give me a laziness.
I'm so lazy. I'll just buy two of the same one because I like it. It's the Brown Brothers Moscato and Sauv Blanc.
Brown.
Yeah.
Brown.
I love my Brown. So, that's what I'm drinking. And I'm about to go and open my second bottle soon.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Ooh, excellent. Yay. I'm excited for this episode.
So, Amy, what is our topic for tonight?
Our topic is our very first fan pick from Insanely Dangerous Retro Podcast. So the topic that our friend over there picked was this. So listen closely. In a world where Tim Burton was never born, what happened to Helena Bonham Carter, Johnny Depp, and Michael Keaton? An interesting topic. Interesting. Yeah. And at first I looked at it and went, oh, wow. Oh, this is going to be meaty and juicy. Okay, yep, I'm in. So I started with saying that I wanted Michael Keaton because he was one of my favorite actors, and going through all of his stuff that he has done just made me so excited to go back and watch all of these movies he was in, and I'm sure you guys felt the same.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to introduce this week. So let's start with who Tim Burton is, because there might be people out there who are living under a rock or are sprouting some COVID-19 conspiracy theories that don't know who he is.
Yeah, look, they might know the name, because they know a Tim Burton film, because it's a little bit kooky, but they may not know who he is at all. Like, he could be made up for all they know. So let's educate.
Yeah, it could be a figment of everybody's imagination. We don't know.
Like Betty Crocker. Could have sworn for years I thought that woman was real, and then I found out she's just made up.
Oh, my God.
Ruined my whole childhood.
Awesome. Anyway, moving on. Timothy Walter Burton. He was born in August on the 25th in 1958. He's an American film director, producer, writer, and an artist. He's best known for his gothic fantasy and horror films. So a little bit about Tim Burton's personal life. He was married to a German-born artist in the 80s. However, their marriage ended in 1991. He went on to live with a model and actress, and her name is Lisa Marie. I had to Google this because I thought he was with Lisa Marie Presley in the early 90s.
Yeah, I just about spat out my gin, and that would have been a bad thing.
Wasn't she married to Michael Jackson at this point? Oh, my God. I was so excited that there was this some sort of love triangle with Michael Jackson. Now, it turns out, no, different Lisa Marie. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. No. Anyway, she acted in a lot of films that he made during their relationship from 1992 to 2001, most notably Sleepy Hollow, Ed Wood, and Mars Attacks.
Oh, yes.
However, Tim Burton developed a romantic relationship with English actress Helena Bonham Carter, who he met while filming Planet of the Apes. Marie responded in 2005 by holding an auction of all belongings that belonged to Burton that he had left behind.
She lit a bonfire and pissed in the ashes. Girlfriend, I feel you.
Yeah. She can come to our march next Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So she sold his shit. Yeah, that's what she did. Well done. Okay. Anyway, so Burton and Bonham Carter went on to have two children, a son named William Raymond, named after his and Bonham Carter's fathers, and then he was born in 2003, and then they had a daughter in 2007. Her name is Nell. Bonham Carter's representative said in 2014 that she and Burton had broken up amicably that year. I do wonder how amicable it was, because I think he sounds like he's a bit of an interesting character, to say the least. In fact, in 2005, Bonham Carter said in an interview with the Evening Standard that maybe he's got Asperger's, because he's a bit weird.
I specifically didn't go into any backstory and kept very to the question. So this is all new to me. I was like, skip, skip, skip. This is not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's my job, mate. I was introducing the topic this week, so I wanted to give a bit of a background. Okay, so kicking on to his films, Tim Burton's films are both critically acclaimed and also rate quite highly amongst viewers. So just a quick run through of his filmography. So Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Beetlejuice, Batman, Edward Scissorhands, Batman Returns, Ed Wood, Mars Attacks, Sleepy Hollow, Planet of the Apes, Big Fish, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Corpse Bride, Sweeney Todd, Alice in Wonderland, Dark Shadows, Frank and Weenie, Big Eyes, Mrs. Penningree, is it Penningree's Home for Peculiar Children? I can't remember how you say that.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
Penningree?
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. Oh, my God.
And Dumbo.
I haven't seen that yet either.
No, I haven't seen Dumbo.
I refuse to watch Dumbo. Just saying. Refuse. Flat out. Bang. Not watching it ever.
Someone told me it was
You got spat out. I heard that.
Sorry. I it was a hard pass for me. Anyway. So, Tim Burton's films have won and been nominated for many awards. Just skipping over quickly the Academy Awards. So, he won, well, the film, this is the thing I couldn't quite find out and I was too lazy to do any further research. The film itself actually won an Academy Award, but I don't know what for. So, it could have been, like, Best Director. It could have been, you know, Awesome Costumes or whatever that category is called. So, yeah. Anyway, so the films that he has directed that have won Academy Awards are Beetlejuice, Batman, Ed Wood, Sleepy Hollow, Sweeney Todd, and Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Having a look at these movies, Michael Keaton, Helena Bonham Carter, and Johnny Depp have been in quite a few of these. Hence our lovely listener's question, if he didn't exist, what would happen to these guys? So this is a topic which we get to dive in a little bit to each one of these three actors, and we get to do one of our favourite things ever, which is speculate wildly about things that have never happened. This is fine.
Yes.
We love this.
Yeah.
If you listen to any of our episodes, you know we love a good speculation session. So strap in. We love this. Okay. So, kicking off to my section, Michael Keaton. Okay, so I took a look at Michael Keaton and speculated where he would be if Tim Burton never existed. So, a little bit about Michael Keaton. Between 1978 and 2020, Michael Keaton has been in 54 movies as well as 26 TV shows.
Wow.
Boy gets around a bit.
Yeah.
Before Holy his first shit. Movie with Tim Burton, he had been in three notable movies for that time. And then he went on to star in Tim Burton's Beetlejuice in 1988. Oh. Beetlejuice is one of my all-time favourite films, being made in 1988. By the time we went into the stage of our lives where we were going to sleepovers and stuff like that, this was a standard. Like, you didn't go to a, you know, a 10-year-old sleepover without watching Beetlejuice. Like,
it was standard. It was just scary enough, but not too scary that the parents would freak out.
Yeah. And it was just a little bit off, but not too off.
Yeah.
So it, and of course,
it had tunes. I cannot, like, every time I hear Dale. Dale. In my mind, I'm there. No one go home.
It's one of my favorite songs ever.
I know, right?
And what's that other one? At the end when they're dancing.
Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay,
I believe you.
Jump in the line.
Yeah,
shake Sinora.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the one. And I'm going to stop singing now. You're welcome.
I'm guessing Amy's going to keep all of that. Amazing.
Absolutely. I keep all the sing-alongs when I edit. So, yeah.
Yes.
So we are well and truly versed in that film because we all have loved it so very much. And Keaton went on to star in two Batman films that were also directed by Burton. And then they reunited in 2019 for Dumbo, which I still have not seen.
Never.
Yeah. So in total, Michael Keaton has only been in four Tim Burton films, yet he's done 50 other movies as well as many other notable TV shows throughout his career. So his career was already on the rise before being in Tim Burton's films. I'm not saying that the popularity of Beetlejuice and the Batman films didn't help his freight train of success. It clearly freaking did, obviously. But I'm just saying that Michael Keaton was clearly on the path to stardom regardless of Beetlejuice and Batman. Thinking along those lines, I just wanted to highlight some of my personal favourite movies that Michael Keaton has been in, because when I was looking at his filmography, I just went, I love that one, I love that one, I love that one, I love that one. He's actually, turns out he might be one of my favourite actors. I just didn't realise. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Turns out might be one of my favorite actors, and I forgot. Anyway,
yes,
so
I feel you.
Just to note, some of my personal favorite Michael Keaton films are Jackie Brown, and I don't care what anyone says, that's actually my favorite Quentin Tarantino film because I reckon it's brilliant. Anyway, Desperate Measures. Now, this was made in the late 90s, and despite it being a massive financial flop, I actually really enjoyed it. It's a really good flick. First Daughter. So this is the one with Katie Holmes, and she's the president's daughter. It's a rom-com. It's totally a friend to me, but I actually really liked that film.
I liked it. But then I like Katie Holmes because she's a badass bitch who takes on raccoons. If you don't know what we're talking about, just go back to episode one.
Yeah, I have much respect for her now. He's also in Toy Story 3. He's Ken in Toy Story 3.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
No idea. Oh, wow. My mind is blown.
That's brilliant.
I love that. I love him more now. I didn't know it was possible.
The next three are, hands down, probably one of my favorite lot of movies that have come out recently, Spotlight. And that was about the newspaper in Chicago exposing the child sex abuse in the Catholic Church in Chicago.
That's a bit heavy.
It's heavy as hell, but it is one of the best movies I've seen, and it's an all-star cast. Oh, God, watch this movie, people. You need to understand what we're not being told by those people. Anyway, moving on. The Founder is about when they started doing McDonald's in the U.S., so he plays the guy that actually buys it off the McDonald's brothers in the end. Well, he goes into partnership with them. You hate him. You hate him all the way through. But, wow, the empire that came afterwards, amazing, incredible.
Oh.
And then the last one, a really very recent one, it's called The Trial of the Chicago 7. It is on Netflix in Australia. Watch this film, people. This is important. Watch it. It's really good.
Watch the film. I recently did.
Well, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, but yes.
More on that later. But, you know.
That's next week.
No, it's not.
So in 2014, Michael Keaton Golden Globe Award for the Best Actor for the film Birdman. Now, still this is not on my list of films I liked because I didn't like it. In fact, I kind of hated it. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
It was one of those really sort of arty, dark comedies that there was bits in it where I sort of laughed or I thought things were funny. But I was one of those dipshits at the end going, I don't get it. I don't really get why I sat here for an hour and a half watching this film because
I know I've seen it. I couldn't tell you a damn thing about it. But I know I've seen it because it was one of those, because of what it was, I thought I'd love it.
Same. Same. I was so excited to watch it.
I know I definitely would have watched it, but I can't tell you a damn thing about it. Like, it blanked from my memory.
I actually walked into that thinking that this is going to be the film that is going to be like, I'm going to be talking about this for the next 20 years. I'm going to tell everybody how much I love this film. I hated it. Actually didn't get it. So anyway.
Turns out that ended up being Ford Fairlane. Who knew?
Who knew? Anyway. So Michael Keaton has also been awarded a Career Achievement Award from the Hollywood Film Festival as well. So in conclusion, I think that whilst Beetlejuice and Batman really gave Michael Keaton a boost, I think he kind of would have had an amazing career anyway. So if Tim Burton didn't exist, I think he might have been okay.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I concluded. Well,
from what you've said, I totally, I can feel that. Like, with the amount of movies he's done, it's not like he's only starred in Tim Burton films. So,
yeah.
So, I think he'd be fine.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
I get the fine feelings.
Yeah.
He would have been fine, but I would just like to point out that the Batman franchise would have suffered greatly.
Oh, wouldn't it?
I don't know if it would have got off the ground.
Yeah. Who else? I didn't look into it. Like, who else would they would have? Who was in the running for that Batman?
Well, if Tim Burton didn't exist, who would have directed the first couple?
Oh, yeah, God. Who would have done it? Like,
Spielberg? Someone stupid.
Ew.
And they would have turned out like the newer Batmans, which are all shit. And who the fuck likes them? I mean,
it could have been worse. They could have turned out like Avengers movies. So, yeah, fuck off. No.
Hey, they're really good.
Were not that bad.
Actually, I like the Avengers movies.
I like the newer
Batman films, except for the first one, which was shit. Yeah.
No.
Sorry, Liam Neeson, I hated it. No, I really like your character in that, but I'm a DC girl and I could just go on and on and on about that whole thing. But anyway,
What's the guy that plays Batman? American Psycho?
I don't like him either.
Christian Bale. I know.
He's not a Batman.
I don't mind Christian Bale as an actor, but he fucked my Batman.
Christian Bale fucked my Batman.
Yeah.
I actually really liked
That's going on a t-shirt. Christian Bale fucked my Batman.
Yeah.
I actually liked Ben Affleck as Batman, strangely enough.
Ben Affleck as Batman.
I'm a little worried about the new sparkly vampire Batman. I'm not too keen
I'm
on
keen
this.
I'm keen for that. I'm keen for it.
Really?
No, I like British
Robert Batman.
Pattinson. Yep, Robert Pattinson.
Christian
is a good
Bale's
actor.
British.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Michael Keaton was one of the best Batmans. In fact, he could have been the best Batman after Val Kilmer, because he
Val Kilmer's number one. Yeah.
Number one. 100%. George Clooney didn't do too bad, but
Yeah, he should get off lightly on killing the Batman franchise. Like, honestly, it was your fault. You're the one who didn't like it.
It wasn't his fault. Sorry. Wasn't his fault.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And you know what? Yeah. Talking about Tim Burton's Batman, I mean, we've gone way off topic now, but talking about Tim Burton's Batman, you know what I really would have liked? I really would have liked to see Jack Nicholson do the Joker in lines with what Joaquin Phoenix did with what was his name? The Australian bloke. He died.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah. So a little bit just like full-blown fucking insane.
Yeah.
You know what?
Element of utter fucking insanity.
Yeah, because Jack Nicholson would have nailed that.
He would have nailed
that. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I think that was sticking more with the cartoony 60s/ comic versions.
They were trying to make it palatable for as many viewers as possible, because it was one of the biggest comics turned movies for such a long time that they really needed sellable to the biggest crowd possible, making
the show was huge
that he was. Yeah, exactly. And that was palatable to pretty much everybody. So they needed to make the movie palatable to everybody. If Jack Nicholson had been any more unhinged than he was in the movie as it was directed, then it would not have been palatable. Mm-hmm. And it would have been like an M15 plus or an R or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah, absolutely.
But Danny DeVito as the Penguin. As a kid, creeped me out. That was
perfect. No.
So creepy.
Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
And Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Get it, bitch.
Perfect.
Yeah. That
Can't
was the
beat it.
Best. Oh,
bloody,
loved it.
What's her name? Anne Hathaway. I like Anne Hathaway as an actor.
Oh, no, she was good. Halle Berry. Oh, fuck. Like that was the worst. Oh,
I don't think I've seen that film.
No, I have. It does not compare.
Yeah.
Anyway, I actually forgot way about off topic.
We are way off topic.
We are.
Dingo stole my segue.
No, the dingo's driving the Segway and we're chasing it, mate, and it's off into the distance and we're still chasing it. So, you know.
Let me just build a license.
Give me back my Segway.
All right, Sarah, tell me about your findings of Johnny Depp.
Okay, so as everyone knows, well, everyone that I am recording with currently knows, I'm in love with Johnny Depp. That man is the sexiest piece of man.
We really debated as to whether to give Sarah Johnny Depp or not.
Look, I wouldn't have minded, but let's just face it.
Pale deep in the rabbit hole, and she probably is.
I'm really not deep in any form of rabbit hole right now. Let's get back onto topic.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, yes, I'm doing Johnny Depp. So, again.
You wish.
I wish. I so do. Johnny Depp, if you ever listen to this, really, DTF. Totally. So, maybe I should say that tomorrow. Anyway. Johnny Depp. What a beautiful actor. So he too, like Michael Keaton, had a career before Tim Burton. So 21 Jump Street.
I love that show.
Huge in 21 Jump Street. I have watched every episode that he has been in. In fact, I went out and bought the TV series because of Nightmare on Elm Street, Private Resort, Platoon, and Crybaby. Were the movies.
Platoon was amazing.
I forgot he was in Platoon, actually. But yeah.
I did too. Yeah. But yeah, Crybaby, again, if you've listened to our past episodes, you'll know that's one of my favourites. Then he was in Edward Scissorhands. And being the dense person that I am, it took me years to realise it was Johnny Depp. I just love the movie.
What?
Yeah, yeah. I was a kid. Come on. It was 1990.
Oh, my God.
How old was I? 5?
I don't care.
I was 5, okay? And I'm a bit dense.
Even depends, Sarah. If you're still 25, you weren't born yet.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm delusional, so I'm 25. And
I'm just going to take it as you're still too young to know who he is. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And she can't do math.
And I can't do Gen Z. Yeah, so, look, it's all good. So in 1990, when Edward Scissorhands came out, if Tim Burton hadn't existed, it's okay, because he would have been in Crybaby. They were both released the same year.
Okay.
I did have a look to have, like, through other movies that came out that year and thought to myself, what other movie would Johnny Depp have been in?
Ooh, okay. Wow.
I went through a lot, and I've come to the conclusion that Troll 2, in the town of Nilborg. Is it Nilborg?
Oh, yes.
Nilborg? Yeah.
Nilborg. Yeah.
That would have been a movie that I think he would have really enjoyed doing. Because,
my God.
Piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
I'm really going to cross-stitch you that. I must.
You really do? I want to hang that on my wall.
I know. I'm so slack. We had so much lockdown and I still didn't fucking make it for you. I'm a useless fucking friend.
So, yeah, I think
Wilson.
That could have been a movie that Johnny Depp had been in. So then going through other movies that he was in afterwards, like he did Arizona Dream, Benny and June. I mean, that was a great movie.
When we were watching Benny and June, and my DVD player was fucking up, and so we had subtitles.
No, that wasn't Benny and June.
Wasn't it?
No.
And he's like, closes the door, and it says, closes door. And I'm like, I'm not blind too. Like,
I will get to that movie. I will get to the movie you're thinking
of. The irony is if you were blind, you wouldn't be able to see the subtitles.
I know.
Yeah, no, I'll get to that one. So what's eating Gilbert Grape? Now, that movie was, I still cry during that movie.
Same. It's such a good movie. Same.
So, he had all those movies, And then he did another one with Tim Burton called Ed Wood. Now, I don't know if either of you have seen this.
I have. I don't remember much, though. Yeah. I know I've seen it. I definitely have.
It's very artsy.
Yeah.
And it's got Sarah Jessica Parker in it as well. And I think, oh, for God's sake, I'm shocking with names. Bill Murray.
Yeah, I think it does. I'm
pretty sure I have Bill Murray in it as well. And it was done, I think it was done mainly in black and white with just a hint of colour.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And yeah. Actually, from what I recall, because it's been quite a while since I watched it, I think I really enjoyed it. That came out the year before the movie you were thinking about that we watched, Bianca, which was Don Juan DeMarco.
Oh, that one. Yes.
Yes. Because, yeah. And there was a sneeze and a cough.
Yeah. And thunderclaps. Was that in the one where you said thunderclaps and we lost our shit?
Thunderclaps. But I remember it because every time I sneeze now, I will sneeze and then go sneeze for subtitles or cough, cough. And yeah. I don't know why I still do it. It's just, it's become a thing. And then they had the music at the end, if you ever really loved a woman, because we sat there singing along with it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's the movie we were doing. So with Ed Wood, again, I went and had a look at movies that he could have done if he had not done Ed Wood. And my conclusion would have been he would have made an amazing Crow.
Oh, yeah, controversial.
But yeah. Then he'd be dead.
He'd be dead. Ooh.
Ah, oh, would boy. He? See, there's all sorts of conspiracy theories that, you know.
There is that it was actually a hit. It's one that I feel like that's closer to the truth.
But I didn't like the speculating wildly. So.
Speculating wildly, look, he would have made an amazing Crow. I really did love The Crow. That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, same.
Brandon Lee. Oh, not so favorite. Good. You would.
Oh, shit, mate. I'm sorry. I'm not getting into it. I was so bored.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, God. Such a good movie.
Yeah. But, yeah, then he goes on again after that Tim Burton movie. He goes on to do so many. Nick of Time, that was an amazing movie. Donnie Brasco, amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, really.
I need to rewatch it. So I think I'd weird. Like it more now.
So. I also think the same. I think I would like it a lot more now than when I was 20.
Exactly.
The Ninth Gate. I mean.
Oh, yeah, that is so that sexy. Like,
oh, God, that is
it's,
so sexy.
It's Bridgerton level sexy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've
Bridgerton
seen it.
Took pointers of it.
I don't even know if I've seen that one, to be honest.
Seriously, watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
If you just want to see Johnny Depp a lot naked, just watch it.
Just watch it.
Yeah, I don't think I have seen it. From memory, I know what it is, but I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah.
The Astronaut's Wife.
Haven't seen that one.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, no. My God. I watched it and I'm like, oh. It's where he's an astronaut. He goes to space. He comes back, pregnates his wife, but it's not him. So, yeah. So,
ooh.
But then you've got Sleepy Hollow. Now, this is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
movies.
One of my favorites, too.
Christina Ricci in it. Love it.
Yeah, it's a good flick.
And, I mean, I've also been, like, Ed Wood had an IMDb rating of 7.8.
Yeah.
Sleepy Hollow has one of 7.3.
What? They're on crack.
Yeah, it's got more of a cult following because of Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci. And the three of us. I don't know, like, especially Christina Ricci, like,
I don't know.
Anyway, stuff that she's been in because of we're basic 90s bitches, we will follow her. Like, oh, you're in something new? I'm going to watch that. I love you.
I don't
also,
know that, actually. But I
that
like
movie,
her as an actress.
That movie was amazing for so many things. Visually, it was amazing. But also, we're forgetting, you know, another character who was on screen for a lot of the time, and He was very beautiful back in the 90s. That was Casper Van Dien. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He plays the antagonist in it. You know, the asshole guy? Oh, my God. Yeah, he was so damn hot. Oh, my God.
You had a lot of people damn in hot. It. What's his name? Christopher Lee? He was in it as well?
Yeah.
And the dude who plays the dad in Beetlejuice, he was in it too. Isn't he like one of the townsmen?
I think he is. Yeah. Like the mayor or something.
So, like Christina Ricci's dad.
Yeah.
Something
and
like that.
The guy that plays the Headless Horseman. Oh, God, I should know his name.
Oh, yeah. He was Weapon of Choice.
Christopher Walken.
Yes. I can see
Christopher
Walken. He's such an amazing actor.
I love him.
Very good.
So, yeah, that had quite a good review, though. Because you do. It is a good movie, and you have a lot of good actors in it. So Sleepy Hollow, although it was huge, it didn't really make much of an impact. I mean, then you've got, what, five movies? No, you've got a lot more. You've got, like, eight, nine movies, really, afterwards. Like Chocolat.
I haven't seen that.
I don't know why.
French film.
It's not a French language film, but it is set in France.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie gets you. You're just like, oh. You're just wishing you're eating chocolate in there.
Getting all hot and bothered over there.
Oh, hot and bothered.
It's getting hot here.
And then, yeah, it goes on The Man Who Cried, Blow, which was an amazing film.
Hell. Blow's amazing.
From Hell is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, yes.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Oh, I love that too.
Such a good movie with Antonio Banderas.
Oh, yes.
Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
It's so sexy.
I just watching Legend of Zorro again, so I'm just like all about Banderas.
Well, Once Upon a Time in Mexico is the follow-up to Desperado, and I love Desperado. Yes.
You have loved some Desperados in your time, let's be honest.
I have.
All right, then we've got, that's when he started after that, 2003 is when he started being Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
It really shot him into the limelight once again for a newer generation. So it wasn't even the Tim Burton films that did this. It was Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Happily Ever After, which I think is a different, that's a French comedy.
Yeah.
Secret Window, which really freaking blew
that
my mind.
So good.
Yeah.
Fuck, I love that movie.
Finding Neverland, which made me cry beyond.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
The Libertine, which again got me slightly hot and bothered under the collar.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Really good, actually very artsy, but very good. Then he goes again with the Tim Burton. So then there's two in a row. So then you have Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and The Corpse Bride. Now, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was huge, 6.6 star rating on IMDb. And he played creepy, but still in a very weird way for Sarah, kind of hot, Willy Wonka. Not going to lie.
I've seen Alice in Wonderland, the Tim Burton one, and I've also seen Alice Through the Looking Glass because I quite enjoyed them on many levels. Mainly it was the visual element for me. The storylines I could take them or I could leave them, I don't really care. And the acting I thought was meh, it was all right. But visually I thought the movies were stunning and I really, really
enjoyed
them.
I'm getting to the Alice in Wonderland. I'm doing this in an order, Amy. Come on.
You're not, because Corpse Bride was like in early 2000s.
No,
whereas,
it's the same year as Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, so shut the fuck up.
The Corpse Bride?
Yes.
And Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yes. Same year.
Really?
So I'm doing this in an order. Stop fucking me around.
What I was going to say was he's still scary. And with Alice in Wonderland, he's still... Alice in Wonderland and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory... It's that weird, demented look he's got on his face.
Yeah.
It's the same for the Mad Hatter and it's the same for Willy Wonka. It's that demented look. I don't find it hot, mate. I don't know why you do. That's a big
I don't know. Either.
It's me and it's my Johnny Depp thing. Look, he's hot.
It just makes me feel very uneasy.
He was less creepy than Gene Wilder, okay? I was terrified.
Are you serious?
Yeah, of Gene Wilder and no, he really was.
He was
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, because it wasn't Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory for the original. And Gene Wilder scared me.
As a kid, I watched it recently. He's not scary.
Nah.
I liked him as a kid.
Nah, terrified.
Nah,
Johnny Depp, on the other hand, yeah, he was creepy. But he didn't scare me as much, and he was still kind of hot. Corpse Bride? Well, I will mention that if Johnny Depp didn't do Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I think he would have fitted really well in the movie Kong, King Kong.
I can see that.
Then, yeah, again, the Corpse Bride, he played the male, well, did the voice for the male lead. I love that show, like that type of animation. Like, Tim Burton really does, like, good animation.
Yeah.
That was a 7.3 on IMDb and is still one of my favourite Halloween cartoons to watch. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was the one that I chose to do for him if he didn't do it. I've never watched it. It just...
He cannot do Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It's one of my favourite films. Robert Downey Jr.
I love that.
Kiss
Kiss Bang Bang, sorry, if you put Johnny Depp in there. So Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was Robert Downey Jr.'s first film after rehab. So he was completely clean.
And Christian Slater too. It was their rehab film.
Yeah.
No, you cannot replace either of those guys.
We'll take that one out. He can't do that. That
film is fucking brilliant. If you have not seen that film, and not a lot of people have, go and watch that film. Oh my god, it's good.
I have Kiss Kiss Bang Bang on DVD. You can come borrow it.
Okay, I'll borrow that.
Love it.
Anyway,
it cannot be in that movie. It would change the whole feel of it.
Oh, yeah. No, it would not be right.
Okay. No. Going on after that was Pirates of the Caribbean. Now, he did both of those one after the other.
Yeah.
Apparently. So he did nothing in between. But then again, they were released very simultaneously.
It was huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Dead Man's Curse and End of the World. Then he went straight back into another Tim Burton film, which was Sweeney Todd.
Haven't seen Pirates of the Caribbean, any of them, and also have not seen Sweeney Todd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm shook.
Yeah.
Quite shook.
Deliberately went out of my way not to watch Pirates of the Caribbean because Sarah was telling me how amazing they were, so I decided that they
really
were
good.
She likes them. And decided not to watch them.
I mean, I quote "stop blowing holes in my ship" regularly when I'm driving.
Yeah. Also, when you're drunk too.
Oh, yeah. Because, I've got Pirates of the Caribbean, theme in my shuffle. So occasionally it'll come up and I'm just driving. I can't help it. Stop blowing holes in my ship.
I couldn't have that in my playlist. The rest, I'd hear it and then my foot would just go further and further on the accelerator and I'd just be flying down the road like a fucking pirate. Pirate flag hanging out the window. Fuck you, motherfuckers.
Yep, you're lucky to eat that. Oh boy.
Okay. So Sweeney Todd. That was an amazing film. I really did like it.
It's a musical, isn't it?
Yes. I hate it, but I'm just gonna agree with you.
Was it based on a book or a true story? I can't remember.
It's a play.
It's a play.
I think it's a play.
I like plays.
Love plays. But yeah, that's got many people in it, including Helena Bonham Carter, which Bianca will talk about later. So I don't think if that didn't exist, there would be much impact on his career as well. I did pick a movie again to go for if he didn't star in it, and it's actually one of my favourites just because I think it would be interesting to see this movie if he had been placed in it. Not in a starring role, but one of the cider characters.
Ooh, all right.
Stardust.
I haven't seen it.
No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my god, this is so sad.
So sad.
So sad. I love Stardust. I've seen it so
many
times.
Hold on, is Stardust Nicole Kidman?
No, that's the Golden Compass.
Oh no, Stardust is Michelle Pfeiffer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. I don't know why I haven't seen it. I just haven't.
Yeah. Go watch it. It's amazing. Okay, so after that, you've got Public Enemy, the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, which he wasn't really
That's that one where Heath Ledger died while they were filming it, and so a heap of actors just play it, and they've even got, like, a woman doing certain scenes as the Doctor. Is that right?
Keeps changing characters.
Yeah, because he died halfway through filming the film.
I don't know anything. I really,
It was actually not a bad movie.
I actually had it on my list for so long to watch just because of that. I wanted to see where they went with it, but haven't watched it.
I did watch it. It was, in fact, kind of a good movie.
All right.
After that, in 2010, he did Alice in Wonderland, which Amy mentioned. That was an okay movie. I won't say it was great.
Well, for me, I think the thing that made me like it was my second 3D movie. So 3D movies are just...
Gives me migraines. I don't get migraines.
I'm blind. It doesn't work.
Oh, God. So my first 3D movie was Jackass 3D, and it was amazing. Paintballs flying at my head, bubbles.
All sorts of weird things.
The thing is, I know this stuff isn't for everyone, but they actually made the best 3D movie I've ever seen. And then the second one I saw, which was a proper movie, I'll say that in quotations, was Alice in Wonderland. And so when you're going down that rabbit hole and she's falling, that was the coolest shit. Like,
I'm so jealous.
It's flowing at me. Like, it was the coolest shit.
Visually, that movie is actually really good. The only thing that really drew me in, the only reason why I really like it is because it's visually amazing. I actually can't watch 3D, and I watched my first 3D film, ended up with a blood nose. I don't get migraines. I don't have bad eyesight. I don't wear glasses, and I don't get, don't get migraines, don't get blood noses normally. Went to the doctor and said, am I having a brain hemorrhage? And she said to me, no, that's not what's going on here. And then we talked about it. She goes, 3D movies can do this to some people, even though they're totally fine most of the time.
It's probably your logical mind that's done it.
No,
because
I can do it for short amounts of time, as I discovered. But this movie in 3D, Bianca, oh, my God, that would have been incredible.
Yeah, it really was. I don't know. It just holds a special place because it was the proper, like the first proper movie I saw in 3D. So it was just in the cinema. I don't know. I miss the cinema so much. Oh, boy.
Again, it didn't really have much of an impact on his career.
Oh, no. No.
Afterwards, he did The Tourist, which was really artsy. I did choose Inception in case he didn't do Alice in Wonderland. Purely because I think that's a kind of weird ass kind of movie he would choose.
Yeah.
No.
But I have seen Inception and Leonardo DiCaprio. God, mate, you do an amazing job on anything. Yeah.
And you couldn't even put him in Joseph Gordon-Levitt's role because he was really good at that too.
Yeah. It would work for him.
Yeah, he
anyway,
could.
Anyway, well. Back on topic.
Thank you.
He did The Tourist, again, artsy film, Rango, which was an animated film. Then back into I loved Rango. Into Pirates of the Caribbean, Rum Diaries.
That was really good.
He did a special appearance on the movie of 21 Jump Street, the newer one.
Yeah, that I have.
And then he went into doing Dark Shadows, which, again,
that I've seen.
Now, this one, it didn't have a positive effect on his career as far as I'm concerned.
No.
In fact, it was a bit of a flop.
Yeah.
It tanked. It tanked. Yeah. I liked it, but it tanked.
I enjoyed it a bit.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I think we saw it together at the drive-in, and we had kid and your kid in my car. So when I got into my car, everything was sticky. Yeah. Fuck you.
And you and me sat in my car. Look, you picked the car. You picked the car. And it's not my fault children are disgusting. I don't even know what we'd given our kids. I think
I know.
We have chips.
Yes.
It's still sticky. Chips. How?
How is everything sticky? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, because the first movie we watched was, was it Mortal Kombat? No.
No. G.I. Joe.
Oh, no, it was G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe, yeah. Because it was, we decided it was ninjas getting along.
Ninjas getting along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that movie. What's her name that's in Dark Shadows? Is it Chloe Grace Moretz? Is that her name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's her.
Yeah. Oh, she's so good. I love her.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Eva Green. Yeah. Mm. Such good cast.
It was a great cast. It was a shit.
Yeah, the movie wasn't great. Don't see it being much effect on his career.
No.
Yeah. After that, he did The Lone Ranger, which was a great movie.
I haven't seen it.
Saying.
Yeah, but it was Lone Ranger, he wasn't a main character, though. He was.
He played, who was always there.
All I remember is Arnie Hammond. That's it. I just remember The Lone Ranger.
The one that kept calling him Kim Wasabi.
Oh, yes. That's right. No, he did. Oh, my God.
Shit, what was the name of the...
I'm a bad person. Tonto.
He did play Tonto.
Yeah, isn't he like a Native American or something?
Yeah. Johnny Depp is not a Native American.
I'm showing my whole mouth.
Yeah.
We're moving along. Keep going, Sarah.
After that, he does segue.
Yep.
He does so many movies after that. And then back into, which I don't actually think is a Tim, I don't know if Tim Burton did it, Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah, he did.
He did it.
Very different, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
He had a part of it, but he didn't direct it.
Yeah, like it wasn't a major one.
No, it's not.
Very different to the first one, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had something to do with it.
But yeah, he did.
It didn't really have huge effect on his career. He could have done without it because afterwards he did Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
He did.
Amazing. I love the Harry Potter films. Pirates of the Caribbean, he did after that again. Apparently he was in Sherlock Gnomes. I don't know who did that one, but...
Oh, that was a cartoon. Oh, my God, I actually saw that. Because I've seen all of them. Yeah, Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, so that was the last Tim Burton film he was in, as far
P.S., as I'm aware. Alice Through the Looking Glass, it was not directed by Tim Burton. Yeah. He was a producer on it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Wow.
He had a part, but it wasn't his.
I did choose The Magnificent Seven for Johnny Depp to be in if he wasn't in that movie. But, yeah, I reckon Johnny Depp would have been good in that movie.
Okay.
So, yeah, Through the Looking Glass was the last Tim Burton-affiliated movie that he had been in. So, in closing, I don't think if Tim Burton never existed, it would have had any form of effect on Johnny Depp's career. When you really think about it, you think Johnny Depp, you go, oh, yes, Tim Burton movies. But then you look at it and you go, actually, you haven't been in a lot. There's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Nine
Tim Burton films that he's been out of.
I mean, he's been in the most.
30.
Oh, definitely been in the most. But he's also an accomplished musician too. He's in a band with Alice Cooper and what's his name?
Yeah.
I love what's his name. He's great.
Is it Jimmy Page? I can't remember.
I have no idea. What's his name?
I don't know.
Hollywood Vampires, I think the band's called. Yeah. So, I mean, he's an accomplished musician too. So if movies weren't necessarily taking off, well... Maybe could have been a musician. Who knows?
He could have been a musician. He does love his music.
Mm.
So, Bianca.
Oh, holy shit. Are we up to me?
Yeah, we're up to you. Look, I have rattled on and talked shit this entire time.
I'm so sorry. It's now your time. I interrupted so many times.
No.
Okay. And I'm not sorry.
I didn't have much of a script, so I was just prattling.
I'm pretty heavily drunk now, so
that's good because hey, I'm on my second bottle.
So yes, I'm taking on tonight the effervescent and vivacious Jimmy Joe. No, I'm actually taking on Helena Bonham Carter.
His now name is Jimmy Joe.
Jimmy
yeah,
Joe.
J Jimmy Jill.
Jimmy Jill.
Yeah.
Jimmy Jill.
So, oh God, I'm so drunk. I've made this, I've had to like zoom in because I've taken my glasses off. This is great.
Put them back on and you can zoom back out again.
Oh, no, I can't. I can't see. There's no point putting them on. Helena has actually starred in 7 Tim Burton films, so less than Johnny Depp, but more than Michael Keaton. So, yeah, I'm sort of the middle ground here. But, yeah, as Amy said, she did, yeah, get together with him and have a couple of kids. So, yeah. She
had them babies.
Yeah, she did. Anyway. She starred in films from, she actually did sequentially. So she starred from Planet of the Apes through to Dark Shadows and every single one. So seven films in a row. That's a big feat. Yeah. So she's actually often said in interviews that she loved starring in films that Tim Burton was doing because Tim allowed her to have full creative license to act, look, and be fully immersed into the character as she wanted. She had free range. Yeah, like, so I think because of that and the fact that she could go so over the top and she made the character her own, that's why people think of Helena Bonham Carter and go, Tim Burton. But no, he didn't discover her, people. I'm just going to school you right now. So what would have her career looked like if he never existed? So Helena started acting in 1983, the year I was born, and I'm old. And she was 17, and she played Lucy Honeychurch in Room with a View.
I love that name.
Yeah. And so, sorry, no, I got it wrong. When she 1983, she did a TV bit, sorry. And then when she was 17, she started playing Lucy Honeychurch in Room with a View. That was 1985. I completely fucked up my notes. It's fine, people. Keep going. It's gin talking. So all her early movies were all period style. And so she actually got typecast for many, many years as the Virginal English Rose, and she fucking hated that. She did not
like that.
Yeah, she did not like that label at all. So from there, we'll have a look at some awards that she's been nominated and that aren't Tim Burton. So for her role as Kate Croy in The Wings of a Dove in 1997. Helena received a nomination for an Academy Award for Best Actress. So that had nothing to do with Tim Burton. In fact, she wasn't going to meet him for a few more years and she already was nominated for an Academy Award. So, yeah, I'm just like, well, okay. And for her portrayal as Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, in the critically acclaimed film The King's Speech.
I still haven't 2010. Seen that. Oh, my God. Kick me. I still haven't seen it.
Watch it. It was spectacular.
I know.
Oh, my God. I can't even.
I know.
Colin Firth. Mate,
yes.
There Colin is Firth's an older amazing. Gentleman that I am DTF.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
Amen.
Him and Antonio Banderas.
Mr. Darcy.
So, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I need a fan. We've got a fan, but I need another one.
I'm your fan, Sarah. Oh, it's a different fan.
I need a different fan.
Yeah, and she was bloody good in that film, and she actually won the fucking BAFTA for Best Actress that year. Like, surprise me. No shit. Yeah, absolutely. And she was also nominated for an Academy Award for that film for Best Supporting Actress. So, yeah, I mean, that was 2010. She'd already been with Tim for 9 years at that point. I don't think any of his films played any part into this. I think it was her earlier stuff where she was virginal English Rose. That is what got her into that. Yeah. She wouldn't have got that otherwise.
And I think, too, that if you've ever watched any sort of UK TV, it's all the same people recycled in all the same shows. Oh, my God.
It is all
the same. Yeah, it really is. I've watched, like, fuckloads of fucking Doctor Who. Jesus Christ. Send help.
There's, like, I don't know what's going on over in the UK, but it's so incestual in terms of, like, looking at the character, like the actors. Yeah. They're in everything, every freaking series, everything. I mean, and they're all in Game of Thrones, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
They're all fucking in Game of Thrones.
Mum watches a lot of British shows.
Yeah.
And I'll walk in and I'll be like, oh, so you're watching this? She's like, no, I'm watching this. And I'm like, but they're in that. And she's like, but they're also in this. Midsummer Murders. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Midsummer Murders, Thrones, The Bill. You keep naming them.
Orlando Bloom and Henry Cavill have both been in Midsummer Murders.
Yeah.
Because they are English.
Yeah. They've all been in these things.
All in these shows.
She was in heaps of those TV shows. Like, I know watching those shows, like, I am a bit of a UK TV fan. And I, like, see her every now and then popping up from back in the day. And I went, oh, I didn't know she was in this. She's in, like, three episodes and then she's out. And that's what they do. So by the time
these shows, you get killed off.
By the time you've circulated through these TV shows a couple of times, right, you get promoted to movies. I think it's just like a general thing. You either get promoted to Game of Thrones or movies. Like, it's one of the two. She obviously got promoted to movies and she's moved on from there. She's clearly a well-established actress for, you know, the last, 30 years?
What if you don't get promoted and you're stuck in the show?
40 years? Yeah.
40 years. Yeah, so
I'm 25. Fuck off.
What happens if you don't get promoted and you're stuck in the show, Amy?
I keep going in the loop, mate. You just keep going through the loop and you just play a different character this time.
Until you get better. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, once you jump back into the loop, you can't.
Coronation Street.
Coronation. Father Brown. Doctor Who.
Vicar of Dibley. Doctor, absolutely fabulous.
If you're in Vicar of Dibley, you've made it, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you miss being selected for movies or Game of Thrones, then obviously you get thrown back into the pool. Clearly you cannot be typecast as the virginal English Rose anymore because you're 47, so, yeah.
If you couldn't make it into Harry Potter, that's it.
Oh, yeah, Harry Potter 2, yeah. Just one movie. What was it, like 9? Fuck.
If you couldn't make it into one of those, seriously, maybe you should think of a new career.
Yeah.
If you've had 3 contracts with the BBC and you've not been in Game of Thrones or Harry Potter, what are you doing with your life? Seriously.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Okay, back on tangent.
Oh, yeah, back on tangent. Okay, let me catch up to myself. Where are we? It's all right. I know where I am. So
the dingo on the segue, by the way.
I'm still on the segue. I'm just like waving.
She's running off with the jingle on the segue.
Mush, waving like McQueen as she bells past Sarah and we do a dolly on the way through.
Oh, God. So, yeah, so in 2010, that's what happened at the King's Speech. And then, like, for her role as Enid Blyton in the BBC for biographical films, Enid, in 2009. I have no idea about this.
No.
And I'm going to have to find it.
Yeah.
She won the 2010 International Emmy Award for Best Actress.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was obviously a 4-part series, sorry, on Enid Blyton. And, yeah, she won the Best Actress. And she was nominated for the British Academy Television Award for Best Actress. She didn't win it. She just got nominated. So, like, looking at her career, she has starred in 63 films. If you take away the tiny 7 of Tim Burton films, that leaves 56 films, and that's not including TV.
Shit.
Yeah.
He
had so
goddamn.
I can't see that he had any impact because everything that she's had major accolades for have all been because of her previous life, like her early days. So, yeah, and it's a lot of the English period pieces and stuff like that. So,
and all her accolades got nothing to do with him. He did not write, he did not produce, he did not direct any of those movies that she got all the accolades for. So,
yeah. Who doesn't love an English period drama? I mean, oh God, I love them.
Absolutely.
Actually, now I think about it, I don't really watch a lot of English period dramas.
I watch so many.
Get onto it, Amy.
I can't deal.
I kind of want to smack people around, and I know they're all smelly, so no.
I mean, nah, I love them.
Yeah, I love them too. So looking at, you know, her backstory and everything like that, and her life and her career, she actually had no formal acting training at all. None. She paid for an audition or something like that with some sort of company. Yeah. And then she got a part, and yeah. So she actually has no training whatsoever. And I feel that.
Same. We've had no training for anything that we've done basically in our whole life. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. This podcast is pure drivel. Like, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
No training.
She's also, just going back onto her, she's also in Enola Holmes, which I watched recently and I loved.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, my God. Yes. She's in so many things I love, but I do want to go through them.
Is that a period piece? Because I loved that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
You got one.
Okay.
Yay.
Got one.
Yay.
Keep going, Bianca. Stop me.
So, look, to summarize, in my opinion, if Tim Burton never existed, Helena would have been fine. It would not have hurt her career one bit.
You know what? Out of all of these, I've discovered that if Tim Burton never existed, it wouldn't have affected anyone's career.
No, except we would have lost some amazing films, I must admit. Well, I do love a lot of his films.
I don't know that we would have lost them. It's just that we would have accepted them in a different form. Whether they would have been popular in their different form, we don't know.
No.
And it's hard to speculate when you're saying if you take somebody out of the equation because, well, I mean, taking a person out of the equation doesn't necessarily mean that all of the other factors – aren't the things that created it into what it was. And putting the emphasis on one person, I don't necessarily think is correct. It's hard. But we love to speculate, so this has been fun. Too many tangent trains for my editing, but so fun.
Yeah. This is going to be a lot of work. I'm so sorry, my dude. We're up to shout-outs.
I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
All right, keep us on track, Bianca. Keep going. Shout out. So
shout-outs. So I've got the only shout-out this week. Everybody shut up your whole mouths. So my shout-out is to Highbrow Drivel. Now, I found this one I was on Twitter and I just went podcast recommendations and this came up as their Buzzsprout soundbite, and it was a fun fact. So it was just a little bit that the host had taken out of the episode, as we do. And his guest, Jennifer Millard, was talking about the Big Bang, and she's an astrophysicist, and she has worked with NASA and all sorts of things, if you listen to the episode. But she said, for those who are older, like we are, analog TVs, they're static and analog radio. That's static, so the sound you hear, not what you're seeing, not those fuzzy dots. So the actually static sound, some of it is remnants of the Big Bang because the sound is still traveling all this time.
That's amazing. What?
Yeah. And that little sound bite, I actually messaged them on Twitter. I wrote to them and said, oh my God, I need to listen to your episode now. And I was, oh my God, I was on the way to work because, oh, listeners, I know I said I lost my job in round one, episode one. I've been holding off for a few weeks. It's almost been a month. In a couple of days, it'll be a month. I have a job. Hallelujah fucking New Year. Like, unfucking believable. I'm so happy, you guys. So, yeah. Anyway,
gainfully employed at this present moment, and if I can keep my whole fucking mouth shut through lockdown, I will still have a job at the end of it. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yay! So, I'm just going to read you the blurb of the episode that I watched that went with this soundbite. So, the episode by Highbrow Drivel is called Stars, Space, and Astronomy with Jennifer Millard and Eve Alan Bogan. So the host of Highbrow Drivel, he has someone who's knowledgeable on the subject and a comedian. That's his, like a friend that, or someone that he knows that's a comedian. He has, yeah. So to give it a bit of a lighthearted.
We'll call that the funny dipshit, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, Jennifer Millard was actually super knowledgeable. She loves space with all her heart, and you can hear that in everything that she says. It is a absolutely fascinating episode, and it is actually really funny. So I highly recommend it to everyone, and I will be putting links on the blog.
So yes. I might have to go listen to it because that just sounded really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And she's like, she was talking because it's actually been done recently. So this is from the 31st of January. So it's not, it was actually released not that long ago.
Okay.
So she, at that time, so of the time of recording, she was saying, oh, next week we've actually got a helicopter drone landing on Mars. So they're landing what looks like a helicopter on Mars. I listen to the episode. It is amazing. And she's saying, yeah, in 30 years we'll have a man on Mars.
Wow.
And it won't be Elon Musk. Yeah. And there's a whole bit where they talk about Elon Musk, and it's amazing. Anyway, hi, Brad.
Yeah, well, if it's his son, daughter, Archangel, I'm going to be really upset.
No, he thinks
the first, Mars, but the first the person real... on Mars is Archangel. Oh my God, seriously? Is that who we are as people? Come on.
The thing is,
I have a shout out too, actually. Yeah. Just to add in there. To the Crime Shack podcast, I actually got onto these guys just recently, and the last episode I listened to was the Parkland school shooting in America, and this was the one committed by Nicholas Cruz. I didn't know a lot about this particular case because I'm sorry to our American listeners, it just gets to the point where there's just like, it feels like there's one all the time. There's always something, and for us international people, it's very, very hard to keep up with exactly who these people are. That's no disrespect to you guys, and there's no disrespect to the victims whatsoever. You mean something, and your voices need to be heard. This was the one right before Sandy Hook, and I remember Sandy Hook because it was at a primary school. Well, yeah. We call it primary school. It was an elementary school. And, the way that this podcast was put together was very informative, very easy to listen to, and just really on point. Anyone who loves true crime, definitely give this one a look. It is the Crime Chat podcast, and I listen to it on Spotify.
Oh, I'm down.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. It was easy to listen to. It was really good.
Well, I think we should thank Insanely Dangerous Retro Podcast again for this episode topic.
Whoop, whoop. Oh, yes. Thank you, Sarah.
It was really...
Sarah stole my segue.
Sorry, I stole your segue.
That
as I go riding off into the sunset. Goodbye, motherfuckers.
That won't be the first nor the last time that you will say that while we're still mates. So I'm just letting you know.
No, this was a really interesting topic, and I actually found it kind of difficult to get my head around. But
yeah,
no, thank you for making my brain work. Because
the thing that I love about the topic, and when I initially started looking at it, I was like, oh my God, how are we going to do this? But you know what I loved about this was looking at, like, well, for me, it was Michael Keaton. And so looking at all of the films that he's done, oh, my God, this man's incredible. Yeah. And listening to Sarah talk about Johnny Depp, listening to Bianca talk about Helena Bonham Carter, oh, my God. Like,
realize how many movies you have not seen.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I know. I have not seen a lot of Johnny Depp, turns out. I have not seen a lot of Johnny Depp. But anyway, I'm floored by the fact that he was surrounded. Well, I mean, how can you say surrounded, because Michael Keaton was only in four films? But anyway, he clearly was surrounded by very, very talented people, and he was a very lucky individual to have these people at his disposal. So, like, he must have been amazing for incredibly talented people like these three to just be at his beck and call or marry him, have his babies in Helena's case. So,
Oh, I mean, I'm going to put on the blog I'm going to put screenshots of how we got to this topic because it was a bit funny. I actually put a post up on our Twitter for something else and they commented and then they asked to pick a number. So I went to the Skype chat and said to the girls, pick a number, and Sarah picked 7. This is our 7. So, yeah, it is
number
a bit,
7.
It's a bit
number
back and forth.
7. Oh. Number 7.
Shit, I should have picked number 8.
Number 8.
I think number it's good. We're definitely number 7. This is like number 7. We don't know what we're doing. We're one off. Four. We were one off. And I feel that.
So,
one off.
If you are listening, Insanely Dangerous podcast, can you please tell me what number 8 would have been?
Oh, yeah.
They actually just tweeted us. I don't know. We'll talk about this off air. But, yeah, they just tweeted us. So we'll tweet them back. So, yeah, thank you. Also, if anybody has any topic suggestions, we've actually got another fan pick coming up next week. Well, I think the week after. I can't remember our schedule, even though I'm the one that put it in the calendar.
No, I'm pretty sure it's next week.
We have another fan pick coming, and we are loving them. We are absolutely loving them. Keep them rolling in. We love this stuff. We want to talk about the things that you guys want to hear about, so keep them rolling in. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We are on Tumblr. You can email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. Hit us up. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes. You can also now, probably should have put this way earlier in the episode, but anyway, buy me a coffee. We are now on this platform. But we would love it if you could buy us a wine. Look, it's $3 Australian. It's not a lot. And it literally helps us pay for our hosting fees that we pay out of our own pocket.
And our wine.
We will still continue to make content for you because we're making it for ourselves. So if you don't want to donate, we don't care. But I just wanted to let you know that we actually are going to use this for our, hosting costs money. And wine costs money. Why isn't anything free? Goddamn capitalism. You never tell the difference between capitalism and a pyramid scheme.
A fucking man. Anyway.
So, yes, buy me a coffee. The link is in our podcast information. It's all there. So, click it. That's all I got.
Sarah. You know what? I have not been following along because this is Sarah and I never do. So to everyone who has listened to this, I am sorry. I don't know what you're doing with your life, but look, continue if you want.
Serious think about the path that you took that led to this situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There could be so many other life choices you could have made.
Absolutely.
But we appreciate you. We appreciate you a lot. And we would like to thank each and every one of you for listening to our rubbish. We hope you have found it entertaining and are not using any of our facts, even though we have no facts in this episode.
We researched actually fucking a lot when you think about it. All the things that the people did.
Yeah, we researched, but I didn't. Yeah, so don't listen to any of my facts.
Chunky.
But I just
realized. This episode was chunky.
I like them big.
I like them chunky.
Okay, back on topic, people.
Oh, that's definitely our saying for this episode. Back on topic.
Back on topic, people. So, do not use any of the facts discussed in this recording to make important life decisions. Unless it is related to the purse and you purchase. Not the purge. The purchase. And use of a protection chainsaw or another bottle of wine. Which I'm halfway through my second bottle. So, good night. Baltimore.